Yeah.
Visual.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
It's a terrible that
sounds
club.
Good, man. Sounds great.
It's a terrible club.
My right. waves look really down, so I'm going to
crank this up. Give yourself a little juice there. Give yourself a little juice.
Give myself a little juice.
All right. Let's get ready to rock and roll.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into episode 198, Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif, coming to you live from New York City, joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's up, Joe?
What's going on? I'm sitting here live in Georgia, where early voting has started. So, you know, go out and do your due diligence, folks.
Go out and vote. Rock the vote, people, as P. Diddy once famously said.
Well,
rock
we don't talk about
vote.
That guy no more.
What?
No initiative.
Behind
no initiative. You might be a little behind. You might be in New York, but you might not be up on news. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, man. So anyway, if you are new to the show, quick run. Now we're going to talk about the biggest things happening in the sports world with the NFL, obviously. That's going to be our main topic. NBA starts next week, so we might have some little NBA nuggets coming to you as well. Then we will get into the quick hits. Well, we'll also talk the NCAA football, obviously, in the main segment. And then quick hits, WNBA finals are happening now. The baseball ALCS is happening now. Got to watch a Grand Slam live as it happened. On my break at work, just sitting watching a game, and I was like, oh, this guy's never hit a Grand Slam before. Boom! and then we're also going to talk about...
The bases are loaded. What happens usually? Oh!
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're going to get him swinging. Oh, he swung all right. Swung through his shoes, baby. And then we're also going to talk Fulham, the Fulham corner. Oh, no, we don't have Fulham this week. I forgot.
No,
Fulham's off.
No Fulham this week.
No Fulham this week, so I'm sorry to all of you who try to get your Fulham news here, but we will come back to you when we get back from the international break. But we're going to start this week the same way we do every week. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
It got really cold out of the blue today.
The fucking like, blue.
Like yesterday day was not cold, but it was, you know, probably mid 70s, I would say. And today it's like 60s and like your boy's ashy and throwing on some lotion right now.
Gotta lotion up.
But sorry, get back to it.
All right, let's get into it. We're going to talk NFL. Joe actually put some questions in this week because I texted him in an outrage, probably at like 105. Maybe it was like 115. So full disclosure to the listeners, I'm watching the Jags get their faces caved in by the Chicago Bears in London in the morning. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty pissed off. Looks like the defense quit on this team. We'll talk about that later. And then I'm in a very tight fantasy race for fantasy football in my big league that like the winner gets $1,000. And I'm kind of on the cusp of the playoffs. And I'm in a tight race with an undefeated team. And Chris Olave has a catch. So I get an automatic point and then a fumble. So I lose half a point, or a point and a half, excuse me. And then he goes out with a concussion. So I'm negative 0.5 points. And I text Joe and I go, I'm not watching football anymore today. I'm going to enjoy my Sunday. I fucking hate everything about this. So Joe this week decided to be like, hey, maybe we should actually put in some leading questions.
Well, that's not why I put the leading questions in. I'd say actually I put the leading questions in more so because I feel like this week had some has a little more newsy elements to it.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot more, you know, 6 weeks now we're into this. We have some future projections we could put on teams. So I wanted to give leading questions also to justify the first game, because it's not necessarily game of the week, but it's the game that had the most to take away from it.
Yeah, we don't really have a game of the week this week.
Not really. The third week game might be the game of the week, but if you're saying it might be the game of the week,
it's not the game of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was a really good game.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. Also, our last episode went like an hour and a half, so maybe the questions will help us. And I just did a diatribe for 4 minutes on why I didn't watch the games. All right, starting it off, we got Dallas and Detroit. Dallas
beat them down
at home, gets boat raced by the Detroit Lions. First big question, Joe, what's wrong with Dallas?
I think it's everything that I said going into the season, combined with some big key defensive players being hurt. Yep. Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. But bringing back Zeke Elliott and rocking with Rico Dowdle, that wasn't, you know, anything worth a damn as far as the running game was concerned. Yeah, you paid Dak. Yeah, you paid CeeDee Lamb. But going into the season, I thought, okay, who else is really there for Dak to throw to? Everybody wanted to talk themselves into Brandon Cooks. As I said, Brandon Cooks will fade eventually. Not even a target this past week. I don't even know if he dressed, honestly, because he's not on the stat sheet. Jake Ferguson, the tight end, is not who you thought he would be, who you wanted him to be. So, yeah, they really have no receiving targets. So an offense that really wasn't that great to begin with. Their best option was to put CeeDee Lamb, just move him around constantly so no number one corner could really follow him, put him in slots so he can get those mismatches against linebackers and safeties. Once after a year of that, teams have figured it out. They've bracketed him, or they've put their one on him, and he's really the only piece in this offense that can do anything. And once you limit that, you kind of suss out this whole offense. And then, like I said, with the defensive injuries, their defensive coordinator leaving, they bring in Mike Zimmer for Dan Quinn. And as we've talked about, this team had a lot of feast or famine as far as the DBs were concerned. It was either interceptions or giving up big plays. And hey, they're back to giving up big plays.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also been Brandon Cooks, by the way, on IR. He had his knee got scoped, and then he got an infection from a regular run of the mill knee scope. He ended up getting an infection from it. So he's on IR. Okay. But yeah, this is a problem we have in the modern NFL now, is that if you have a starting quarterback that you are like, this is our starter, this is our guy going forward, you have to pay them between $45 and $55 million a year. And there are quarterbacks, we talked about this with coaches, I think it was last week or the week before.
I'm going to disagree with you in a second. Go ahead.
Okay. There are quarterbacks who can make things work. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is the biggest example, where he doesn't have any wide receivers, but he still makes things happen. And then you get a guy like Dak Prescott, who I think is a middle of the road quarterback, but was asking for like big time franchise quarterback money for obvious reasons. Get your bag. I'm not in your pockets. But you have CeeDee Lamb, who also needed to get paid as a top tier player at his position. And that's all you have. You don't have. And Dallas is notoriously a cheaper franchise, so they're not going out and signing bigger players. And I think you see what happens when that occurs. Joe Burrow, perfect example. Wanted to get paid top tier money, but needs top tier talent in order to produce. So what I'm saying is that we see it with Sam Darnold. We see it with Baker Mayfield.
Sure, but that's because you illustrated my point without illustrating my point. And I'll get to it once you finish your point. Sorry.
No, the last thing I want to say is this middle class of quarterback has kind of been phased out. You're either on this guy needs to repair his career contract, or this guy is going to get paid like a top tier talent contract. And I'm just seeing it in Jacksonville right now. Trevor Lawrence, the prince that was promised, is
again,
not
illustrated my point.
$45 million, $50 million a year quarterback. But we still had to pay him like that because he is the starter and he's going to be the starter moving forward. And it's just absurd. And that's what I think is the problem with Dallas. It's okay, the same with these other teams.
If I can connect the dots on these three teams, right? What does the Jags, the Bengals, and the Cowboys have in common?
They all have a mediocre quarterback that's getting paid like a top-tier quarterback?
Let's dig a little deeper.
Ownership.
You're in the ballpark. I won't say the Jags have bad ownership, though.
So no, I like
a
Sean.
Little deeper.
I don't know. I was going to say small market, but Dallas is a huge market.
Trent Baalke, what is he?
GM. I was going to say GM. I was going to say that. I was going to say that.
What the best teams have are smart, calculated GMs.
Yeah.
The reason, because I don't know if you know, but Jalen Hurts is on a $50 million contract. AJ Brown is on a top tier contract. Devontae Smith is on a top tier contract. We were able to bring in Saquon Barkley because you sign them once they're ready to be signed.
Yeah.
You don't hold off. Once they're eligible for that extension, you give it to them. You know why? Because if you wait, all that money is going to do is increase. The reason Dak Prescott's money is so high now is because Jalen signed, then Lamar signed, then Burrow signed, then Herbert signed. So now if you're the 10th guy to sign, you want plus one money.
And if they would have renewed his contract 2 years ago when all this drama started, he would have been paid $30 million, $35 million a year.
He'd be about 40, but still, it wouldn't be 60. He's about to be 60 a year going forward. So the Eagles have done this two times in a row. Now it's funny because both times people scratch their heads. It looks good in the short term. And then by the end of it, you're kind of like, oh, you know, scratch your head, but you're off the guaranteed money already. When Carson Wentz first signed, it was like, really, you're going to sign Carson Wentz? He hasn't really proven anything to you. And then like a week later, Jared Goff got signed for more money. And it's like, you sign them as soon as you can so you don't have to pay a bill that you know it's going to be more. You know the tab is going to be more the longer you wait. So lock them in now. That way you could also stagger the contracts. So because Jalen got signed last year, you signed AJ last year. Therefore, you can sign Devontae this year. The money stretches a little longer, so you're not in cap hell like somebody like the fucking Saints.
Yeah.
So you have more flexibility and ways to maneuver. Dallas keeps waiting until the last second to sign Dak Prescott on game one of this season. You wait to sign CeeDee Lamb until after Justin Jefferson gets his contract and after whomever gets their contract. So now you have to pay him plus what those guys get and more to make him happy.
Yeah, so I guess in a nutshell, what's wrong with Dallas is they have an 83-year-old GM who's not paying attention to the market and injuries, but everyone's hurt. It's week six. What is, in your opinion, the future of the Lions, especially after this devastating Aiden Hutchinson injury?
Yeah, so that was really the big newsworthy thing to take away from this game. Aiden Hutchinson suffered a gruesome injury. If you haven't seen like the in-depth look of it,
don't
be thankful. Because I was watching the game as it was occurring and I was like, oh man, Hutch is down. He's taking off his gloves. Like, oh, this looks like a serious injury. They cut away from it. They come back. There's a stretcher. I'm like, dang, okay, this is really bad. They cut away from it again. They come back and he's still not on the stretcher yet. They're like, they're still working on it. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I was watching the play. Nothing looked that crazy. I assumed it was probably an ACL or something, but damn, they're work. What the fuck are they working on the field for two commercial breaks? And me and my buddies are in the group chat trying to figure out like what happened. And somebody said it was one of those UFC like snap leg situations.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dang, I guess that's the best way to describe it. And then somebody put a link in the chat. Nope. And I was like, oh, what's this? Clicked on it. And then I see the leg flailing. I'm like, oh, God.
It was so, yeah. Willis McGahee. Wasn't that the at the
yeah,
University
it was
of
kind of Willis McGahee-ish. Yeah. Yeah. Another reason why I hate Ohio State forever and forever. So happy they lost this week. We'll get to that later. But yeah, so he suffered a gruesome injury. He was the number one sack leader in the NFL. Top pass rusher, had probably top five.
He is the kind
pressures.
Of guy who can change an entire defense. There's not many players in football where one guy can change the outcome of the game.
Him, TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, the best three pass rushers that make everyone's job easier at this point. So him going away is not only going to affect their ability to get pressure on with the front, but also the amount of time that the DBs have to hold on. And if this team has a weak point, it is their DBs.
Well, even the linebacker offense, play, because he's getting double and triple teamed, and now there's going to be more offensive linemen to go to the second level too. It's
that's
a mess.
True as well. Now Dallas didn't exploit this as the game went on, because I think that happened in like the third quarter.
Yeah,
and
the
Dallas
game was already over.
Didn't score again, basically. But the good thing, in the sense that Detroit, their offense is still
I was gonna say
high power.
They might not need a good defense with that.
Yeah, offense. I was gonna say their offense is still super high powered. They were able to put 47 points up. David Montgomery
running like he has something to prove,
as Brennan would say, a man possessed. By the way, they just re-signed him like in the middle of last week. They extended his contract
2 years. So, yeah, I saw that.
2 years, 10 guaranteed, 18 total. So that's how you do business. Shout out to their GM. I can't remember his name, but I know he's a black man. Shout out to him.
I was going to say it, but then I thought it was disingenuous. The black guy.
Yeah. But yeah, no. I think they are, prior to that injury, I was like, this is your NFC representation coming out for the Super Bowl. Now with that injury, it leaves me a little more hesitant. Brad Holmes, thank you. It leaves me a little more hesitant to say that definitively. But the Lions they're so good in so many key areas. It's going to take a week or two to see how that defense is still able to get pressure, how they're able to defend on the back end without having such a star there. But they did well still after he left the game. They were still able to get some pressure, but Dallas's O-line, like, that was one of the things I talked about. And now I found out that they have one of the youngest O-lines.
Yep.
So I don't know if Dallas is the right person to calibrate what this defense is going to look like post that injury, even in this game alone. So next week they play, I want to say, the Minnesota Vikings. So that's going to be a real show and tell type of game. For the division.
A high powered offense.
So yeah. So we'll definitely see what comes out of that.
All right. Let's move it on. I almost forgot to say real quick, I do appreciate the Lions saying he had a surgery, he'll be back in Detroit. There's absolutely no timetable on his return.
No.
It was the same thing when Mike McDaniel in Miami, like when Tua came off the field, like gave him a big hug, gave him a kiss on the head, and it was like, just, you're good, man. Don't even worry about it. But
one last thing I wanted to say. I really like Dan Campbell. And I love the fact that him and Ben Johnson were like, oh, you didn't want to give us that fucking offensive lineman touchdown last time?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to run 30 offensive lineman touchdown plays. Didn't get one of them, but we're going to try.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing it. We're just going to keep doing it. I liked it. I really love Dan Campbell. And those Applebee's commercials are hilarious.
Very funny.
Cover your face. Next game we want to talk about was the Buffalo Bills squeaking one out against the New York Jets. Biggest news that has to do with any of the teams involved in this game was the Jets just traded for, breaking news, they knew we were recording today, so they waited till this morning to break it. Davante Adams is now going from the Las Vegas Raiders to the New York Jets for a third round pick, conditionally, could be a second round pick depending on his play time and stats. So the Jets bringing in Adams, is this going to help Aaron Rodgers and that Jets team who now have a new coach? Last week they fired their coach. This week they bring in a potentially star wide receiver. You know, he's kind of had a downturn, but he hasn't had a quarterback. Joe, is this going to make the impact that they think it'll make for the Jets?
No, but I do want to just get one thing off real quick. So I'm in a weekly pick'em. I'm in a weekly pick'em with my guys. And I went undefeated this week. Me and one other guy got every game right. All 12 games correct.
Is it point spread or is it just win-loss?
Just win-loss. But the tiebreaker is Monday Night Football scores. So he went 48. And by the way, we all blind do this. He went 48. I went 47.
Your price is right at him.
I kind of price is right at him. But then I said, it's going to come down to points. And he was like, Lord knows, I just pick a random number every week. And I said, really? I think it through. I said, I'd figure it's going to either be 44 or 47. But either way, the Jets are going to be, are going to have 20 points and they're going to need a touchdown to win the game or tie. And they're not going to get it.
Nope.
That's why I couldn't go over 47. And I was like, I went 47 instead of 44 to give myself some cushion. And then Brennan, lo and behold, 23-20. The Jets need a touchdown to win it or a field goal to tie it. They have the ball. Aaron Rodgers throws a game-ending interception effectively.
Yep.
They were never going to get it.
Second time he's done this in 2 weeks.
Second time in 2 weeks. I think this will help them short-term, not long-term. I don't think the Jets are going to make the postseason, as I predicted before the season even started. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has it. If you look at that final pass, he can go ahead and blame Mike Williams all he wants and say he ran the wrong route.
Oh, he will.
I was about to say, Aaron Rodgers is just hoping that every, and we talked about this last week as well, he's hoping every single one of his receivers are in his mind and they're going, they're doing exactly what he wants him to do. And it's like, okay, that's great, but you got to play the results. And you threw a duck. Even if he was supposed to be shorter on that route, that was a duck. And anybody would have picked that off. It would have just been an easier pick if the DB knew, if him and the DB were going shorter, because the safety came and is the one that took that pick. So whatever you want to make your excuses, my man, go ahead. I think he is done. He's obviously not who he once was 2 years ago, 3 years ago when he won the MVP. And after last year's injury, I think Adams is going to get frustrated with him after like 4 weeks, realizing that, oh, this is not the same guy that I was like really good with.
Well, and also the problem with the whole situation is like, there's
one
a lot
last
of teams.
Thing. Go ahead. One last thing. And I am so annoyed with how people are somehow, people love quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, we can say that, but the way people are contorting themselves to say that Robert Saleh was a bad coach when he was a defensive coach and he had a top five defense this season as well. The defense was not the issue. Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett were in control of the offense and they looked like shit.
And also last year, you think it wasn't Woody Johnson coming down going, we took this guy second or third or whatever, you're going to play Zach Wilson?
Like when they made the Zach Wilson, when they didn't trade Zach Wilson, I was like, you need to get him out of there because there's no reason to keep him around. Keep Mike White and get rid of Zach Wilson. What are you doing?
It's a disaster. Also,
and then after Rodgers got hurt, he didn't want them to go get a Joe Flacco or somebody else. Yeah. He did not want someone else to come in. So,
yeah. And what I was going to say is it's difficult.
Gosh, Dobbs or somebody.
For the fan base, I would assume. Because you do see drops. Like, Alan Lazard has had a couple drops. Like, there, Mike Williams has had a ton of drops. I know because I drafted him on Tracy's fantasy team. It's like there are drops everywhere. But then also, when you can't, when you have to have it, he's throwing interceptions 2 weeks in a row. When you have to have it, he throws a pick. So it's kind of like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I think Davante Adams will help the drop problem. I think Davante Adams will look good for a game or two. I don't think it's sustainable.
The last three games they've played, they needed field goal to tie or a touchdown to win in each scenario, basically. The game against the Broncos in the rain, it was what, 9-10?
Yeah.
Field goal wins it. On third down, he takes a sack. Field goal is extended. They miss the field goal.
Yep.
Last week against the Vikings in London, he throws an interception inside. This time, underthrows his man, interception. At some point, the problem is you.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of the AFC East and what's going on, Bills get a big win, especially coming off of, they looked great in the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden it was like a couple of bad losses, and you're like, wait, are all the things we said about this Bills team at the beginning actually coming to fruition? And then they sneak out this win. Do you think the Bills win this division? They were clear favorites at the beginning of the year, but things have kind of been up and down for them. Do you think it's their division to lose?
I think it's their division to lose because, as we just outlined with the Jets, I don't think the Jets are going to improve much with this trade, with the firing of their head coach. The Dolphins are dead on arrival. Tua is not going to play this week. May play the week after. Who knows? But that situation is still up in the air. And then, Drake May, three touchdowns. Brennan, you know what I did? I do prize picks every now and again. I told you guys. I texted my buddy because we've been like sharing whatever our one lock is so we could put it in each other's parlay. And I text him, hey, Drake May interception, book it.
Yeah, 100%.
A rookie quarterback going up against Will Anderson and what's the coach's name? I can't remember his name.
D'Amico Ryans?
D'Amico, thank you. I was like, yeah, book that INT.
Well, and not only Will Anderson, but on the other side, they got the guy from the Vikings.
Who's that?
The pass rusher from the Vikings that they got like last year, and everyone was like, oh, you already have Will Anderson. Why
it's
would you?
It's not Za'Darius Smith, is it?
No, it's here, I'll get it right now. Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm sorry.
Mario Edwards Jr. Isaiah Alex, no, Shakir. I don't know who it is. Anyway.
Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter's there? Oh, yeah, he is there. Wow. I didn't even see that. Brennan was like, Danielle Hunter.
No, I was looking it up. I thought you were going to keep talking, and then there was just dead air. And I was
sorry,
like,
oh. I got there, and I was like, I can't see. I was looking for, like, notable ex-Vikings, and I couldn't put my finger on it. Danielle Hunter just slid by. But yeah, no, I think the Bills definitely will end up winning the division. Josh Allen, obviously, something was wrong last week, and we all, you know, questioned, did he have a concussion or whatnot? But he made a play to end this game that I was like, oh yeah, that's Josh Allen. And that guy doesn't, since he's gotten right in that second year, he doesn't lose these kind of games in that way. That's why last week was so frustrating to watch against Houston. Like the game against Baltimore just dominated them. But the game against Houston, he just looked so off and so out of sorts. But I don't know if you saw it last night, but the final play of the game, essentially, it was third and five, and it was third and five. They needed a first down basically to ice the game. They snap it. They have the running back running right for like a wheel route or like a little screen. He turns, fakes that. So now the end collapse, turns around, runs it, beats the end to the first down, gets the first down, game over. And I was like, yeah, that is that transition. They went from making him like, they ran for necessity versus running like out of desperation versus running for necessity. like using him more like Cam Newton intentionally, I think that is what takes this offense to the next level. And if he can do that consistently, I think there's no way they don't win this division at 4-2.
Yeah, I think the AFC East is probably one of the two worst divisions in the NFL right now, only because of what we outlined with the other teams. I would say the AFC South is right there too, but Joe Flacco's just surgical out there. Even though I believe they lost, but he's been a technician.
No, they won.
They did win, yeah.
Yeah, they pulled it out.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where I was just down a rabbit hole on Danielle Hunter. real quick, total pressures 24 and 16 hurries. So a lot of people would be like, oh, he only has 3 sacks. They're not a rushing tandem. Yeah, well, he has 24 QB hurries, so he's up there. Yeah, I think the Bills win this division. I don't even think it's close now after the Tua injury and after the Jets have they are who we thought they were. So the Bills take this division. I don't know about the playoffs, though. It's just, like you said with Josh Allen, he can make stuff happen, and this is the Josh Allen we were expecting. This is why I took him.
I didn't say a damn thing about the playoffs, boy.
No, but that's what I'm saying is after everything you said about is true about Josh Allen and the things he can do, I think once we get into the playoffs, it's going to be a lot more difficult for him to Superman it than it is in the regular season.
Yeah, they might, if they end up playing like the Steelers in the first round, they can win that, but Baltimore and the Chiefs, they still just have their number.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Let's move it on to the maybe game of the week. All right, time for the pseudo game of the week, Baltimore-Washington. Game of the week. This is in Baltimore. This was the most anticipated game the whole week, only because Jaden Daniels has turned that offense around for the Commies. Defense is still a little suspect, but has been playing a lot better. I think they had like 7 sacks last week. So have the Ravens, after some of their ups and downs this year and losing a couple of these games close, have the Ravens righted the ship completely? Joe,
the Ravens are who we thought they should be. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry, after week one,
running team.
Even though, you know, they didn't win week one, we came here and we said Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are by far the scariest thing to be a linebacker, to be an defensive lineman, to look over and see those two guys back there. It's like
terrifying.
Well, damned if we do, damned if we don't. they're going to rip, run, and roar all over us. Derrick Henry, 132 yards. Lamar, 40 on the ground. 323 in the air. Zay Flowers had best game of the season so far. 9 targets, 9 catches. Mark Andrews was able to finally wake up from whatever slumber he was in. I do want to say,
worst part is so many people cut him last week in fantasy.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Yeah, he had 0 points like 3 weeks in a row.
I do want to say, though, we don't, like, this happened with Cam Newton at 1.2. There was it was late in, I want to say either second to last season with Carolina. He got in a car accident. And he was able to walk away from it, but he never kind of quite looked right after the fact. And prior to the season starting, Mark Andrews was in a car accident and he didn't miss any time or anything. But I wonder if that played into maybe his body just wasn't feeling 100% correct. So I wonder what effects that has had on him to start the season. But he looked good in this game. 3 catches, 66 yards and a touchdown. But Lamar going 20 of 26 after being so inaccurate last week, being way more accurate this time. So I forgot who I was listening. I think it was the Dominic Foxworth show.
Shout out.
And they said, the funny thing is I had this thought right before, but they kind of crystallized it for me. And I was thinking back to what was Lamar's like best year, that first MVP, what was so different? Cause he didn't have the receiving targets that year as well. Like, what was the thing that made that year like so different? They had Mark Ingram as the running back. So it provided, hey, we have a legitimate established running back here that you got to pay attention to. So if I fake it, you are going to follow him and I'm going to be able to break off some good runs here. But if I hand it to him, you're afraid that I might still have it. So he's going to be able to break some good runs here. So they might not need a number one running, a number one receiving threat the same way another team does. They might just have needed a dominant running threat.
Yeah, and the whole Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins thing, I mean, we're seeing it now. J.K. Dobbins looks great, but he was hurt.
He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, yeah. If you can't stay on the best ability.
So they had to piecemeal it with all these different running backs.
To your point, there's no threat of the run. They're just going to key and spy on Lamar and be like, all right, try to beat us deep. And then I do want to say it is fantastic that this is the second incarnation of Thunder and Lightning, the Lightning being the quarterback.
The quarterback. Which is
hilarious. That's so funny. But yeah, I think Baltimore, I never thought the ship got off track. I just thought maybe there was a little rocky, a little storm, little rocky waves, but they're right back in it. I do think the Commanders, the Washington Commies, I think are legit to the point where I don't know if they're going to win the NFC East because I still have a lot of faith in the Eagles. But
they're going to win the NFC East.
But
that's not even a not of faith in the Eagles thing. It's just the way this division rotates division winners.
Yeah, that's true.
It's they're going to win it.
But yeah, so that's the thing is I think they could make some noise in the playoffs. The only challenge would be if they don't win the NFC East would be making the playoffs because I think the NFC North has four playoff teams. Potentially, definitely three.
I think we could say definitely
three and potentially four after we saw what the Bears did. So I think if the Commies can't win the division, I think it's going to be a tough sledding to sneak into the playoffs. But if they do get into the playoffs, and whether that's by winning the division or not, I think Jaden Daniels could make some stuff happen, at least in the wild card round.
Jaden Daniels can make things very interesting. He has been a bright spot as far as this draft class is concerned so far. I would say Caleb Williams has looked really good in the last two games, really last game. Jaden Daniels has been pretty good consistently throughout. The only thing, and I think Brian Robinson missed this game, the only thing I would want more consistently out of them, I don't want it, but their fans may want it, is that running game to alleviate some of the amount of responsibilities that you're putting on Daniels because he's still a young quarterback, but he seems to be up to it, man. He's playing phenomenal out there. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. I don't think he has that many interceptions on the season so far. And he's making his receiving threats look better than a lot of people remember, honestly. Like Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, is like a really good receiver. And people kind of just forgot because he had, Sam Howell and whoever throwing to him the last couple of seasons. So he hadn't been as impactful.
I do want to say this. As of right now, the Commanders are third in the NFC. Just if snapshot of today. I want this on the record. Because
they're division leaders.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're third right now. But they're also
4-2.
If they end up in the top three for the NFC and Jaden Daniels continues to play like this, he may be the first ever post-merger MVP rookie. Just throwing it out there.
Don't think it's going to happen. Only two interceptions so far.
Only other person who's ever won an MVP in his rookie year. Can you name the player?
Bo Jackson.
Jim Brown.
No, Jim Brown. Damn it. I was like, I know it was one of those like legendary. Yeah. Jim Brown.
But that was pre-Super Bowl, so it was just the NFL.
Don't think he's going to get it.
There's no way he's going to get it. It's just a fun thing to think about.
It's a fun thing to think about. This was the year Josh Allen was supposed to get it in after the first two games, it was like, yeah, he might. After the first three games, it was like, ooh, he's going to get it. And then he had the clunker against Baltimore and the clunker against Houston.
I've got two losses on my fantasy team to prove it, Josh Allen. 9 points. Who scored? What quarterback? Man. What running quarterback scores 9 fantasy points?
That is crazy. I would love a world where Derrick Henry wins it because Derrick Henry has been playing out of his mind. He had 132 the NFL yards this year.
He's a legendary. He's in legendary status right now. that team as a running team, I think, is like third ranked through 6 weeks. And also Derrick Henry, I think, is 120 yards ahead of the next running back for total yards for the season. They're not going to give it to him.
They're not going to do it. But my thing is, if that's
Aiden Hutchinson, I was pulling for before the injury.
Yeah. I would say, do you give it to Lamar? I don't think Lamar gets a third one already.
No, because it's also a narrative.
He's
going to
get Jokic. Yeah, I would say he's going to get Jokic. You got to win before you get number three or whatever.
If the Bills can turn it around and dominate, which they should be able to, their schedule lightens up a little bit. They're going to have a lot more of these AFC East games coming up. I think Josh Allen definitely has a chance to win it. There's no standout right now, though. I mean, normally it goes to the quarterback with the one or two seed. I was gonna say Sam Darnold.
I heard it on the tip of your tongue. Sam Darnold's not gonna get it.
No, I know, but I'm saying if the Vikings end up like 13-4 and they're the number one seed in the NFC, and Sam Darnold, because of having guys like Addison and Jefferson. There's no way, Jared. No way. How you feel about Sam Darnold's how I feel about Jared Goff. There's no way. If Jared Goff wins the MVP, Shad Khan should back up a Brinks truck to Ben Johnson and get him to come.
Jared is playing lights out right now.
He is. And I've got no ill will towards Jared Goff. I'm just saying.
That's playing lights out.
He's so goofy looking. He can't be the MVP.
He is very goofy.
Also, I've been getting teary-eyed on TikTok watching those. They do mashups, and it'll be to the Cranberries song in the background.
I love the Cranberries.
You know the song I'm talking about, the Let It Linger. Yeah. And so they have a bunch of...
My finger.
Yeah. They have a bunch with Sam Darnold, where it's him getting drafted, and then him, like, literally him being like, I'm seeing ghosts out there, and then all these commentators being like, he's lost it, and then it smash cuts to him this year, and it's like, they have to let it, and I'm like, he's doing so good, man, I'm so proud of him.
Man, Brennan, there's another person who would be getting it if his team was a lot better. Joe Burrow would be running away with it. Baker has 15 touchdowns. He leads.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, man.
God.
Baker. I like Baker because he has all those qualities that I like, but he's also not. And there's a couple guys like this. Patrick
Jordan
does it,
Love,
like,
12.
Patrick Mahomes does it, but in like kind of a whiny way. I like that Baker is so like fuck off to the other team. Like I like how like intense he gets. Like when he'll throw a touchdown and start talking shit. Mahomes does it kind of, but when Mahomes does it, it's kind of maybe it's just his voice because it's so high pitched. It just sounds like he's whining. But when Baker does it, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Did you hear what he said about the Texas win at Oklahoma?
Yeah, it was first time in what 10 years or. Oh, well, you guys are mad because it was 10 years ago. I beat you two times.
I love like, that. Where they were like, how do you feel about them planting the Texas flag in the middle
flag
of the
on your
OU
jersey.
On your jersey? And he goes, I think it's incredible that it's been 10 years and this still living rent-free in their head. And I was like, yes. That's my fucking.
That's pretty good.
Sam Darnold's my ride or die, but Baker Mayfield's right up there, man. All right, we ready?
Hold on. I think it's going to be Lamar again.
I don't think. I think it would be impossible to be Lamar. It's a narrative award. They're not going to vote for him 2 years in a row.
My thing is, who you give it to after
that? We'll see. It's only week six. We'll see.
Patrick Mahomes. Where's Patrick Mahomes on the touchdown list?
Patrick Mahomes has been incredibly efficient, but nothing.
Six touchdowns.
Yeah, nothing to write home about.
Baker is leading with 15. You got Burrow at 12. Jordan Love with 12.
If they continue
Darnold
this trajectory, I guarantee you that it will go to Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold before it goes to Lamar again.
Now you're just saying racism.
No. I'm saying it's a narrative award. And I'm saying with this trajectory.
No, you know
Baker
who it's
going to
be? You know who it's going to be?
Has the record.
You know who it's going to be? If they stay on the trajectory that they're on, he should have had way more consideration last year, but he was your Jaden Daniels last year, CJ Stroud.
Yes, CJ Stroud's another Stroud. One. I completely underrated. I completely forgot about that. Yes. Racism. I can't believe you played that card. I was soapboxing for
I'm Jim not
Daniels
saying you.
Rookie.
I'm saying the writers who vote on it.
Yeah,
not
totally,
you.
Totally
come
racist.
On.
Come on.
Don't tell me. I didn't hear no bell.
Come.
One more round.
Let's all make right, this we're as gonna, quick as possible.
Yeah, we're going to do one more round. We're going to go back and forth very quickly on some games. Joe, you're taking the first one.
All right, Eagles beat the Browns. The Browns look like some brown in your toilet. Deshaun Watson, again, I believe in karma because he is being karmically punished for all the bad deeds he did. They suck. The Eagles defense played good, but it was good against a team that sucks and the quarterback that had been sacked the most in the year so far. So I don't know how much of that was the defense itself. So I'd like to see a little bit more. The offense, anemic at times. Wish they'd run it slightly more. I don't think,
story of a Philadelphia fan, run the damn ball.
I don't think Saquon had as, he ended up with 18 carries. Okay, not terrible. I'd like to see him get to 20. But, you know, walked away with a win. AJ looked good coming back. Devontae looked good coming back. Unfortunately, Dallas Goedert got hurt on, like, the first drive and never came back. And I don't remember if Jordan Mailata ever came back. He suffered an injury at one point. But, man, there were so many injuries in this game as a whole. It was pretty crazy. But, yeah, still a lot to clean up there, but, you know, didn't have a turnover, which was good. Walked away and, well, there was a blocked field goal, but Jalen Hurts didn't have a turnover. So that was pretty good to take away from this
game. Week to week, he's out next week, Jordan Mailata.
Oh, shit.
One more round.
All right, Chicago, Jacksonville. Caleb Williams looked great. Jacksonville took the lead early in this game, looked like a game, and then in halftime, you could obviously tell that the defense had quit. Andre Sisco, our star safety, who's been up and down with injuries, but when he's on the field, he's great, even said, speaking about the team, it just seems like it seems like people on the team quit, and I'm including myself in that. Doug Peterson has lost the locker room. Doug Peterson will no longer be the coach. If we lose this week, they're going to leave him in London. I'm not a big believer in firing the coach midseason. I don't think any real good comes of it, because even if you do get a bump from the interim head coach, that's not, for our sake, that's not a long-term solution. We need to go out and get Brian Flores or Ben Johnson. Mike Vrabel, one of these established coaches who can come in and change the culture. It's a culture thing. I think the pieces are there. I think the team is really good on paper. I just don't think we're putting it together. Hats off to Chicago. Keenan Allen, who I benched because he hasn't been playing really well, had two tutties, so that was great. And DJ Moore looked kind of...
Shout out to Cole Kmet.
Yeah, Cole Kmet looked great. Keenan Allen looked really good. But DJ Moore had a couple of drops, a couple of odd drops. And Caleb Williams, he's coming along. Remember in the first couple weeks of the season, we're like, bust, second pick always is the better pick. Jaden Daniels, Caleb's a bust. He's coming along.
Who said bust?
Nobody said bust. I'm just being hyperbolic for entertainment purposes. But this might be one of the random times. We haven't had this, I think, since like, what was it, 2007, when it was like Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, whatever year that was, Philip Rivers, where they were all in the same draft class. This might be one of those.
You had a bunch of like respectable quarterbacks.
Yeah, this might be one of those two rare times, because Drake actually looked pretty good too. This might be a very rare moment where it's like,
there's one that I'm still shaking my head at, like,
Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, one out of four being bad, if not terrible, is great compared to some of the other years.
The thing that was like good about that class is, like, you got to remember that class was old. Flacco, Eli.
Oh, you're talking about this class, yeah.
Ben,
Philip Rivers.
Like, that's four.
Cuss.
Depending on, I was about to say, depending on how you shake it out. Cuss. I was literally going to use the same word. Cusp of the Hall of Fame type of guys.
Yeah. I think, because normally,
you know what's crazy? This is crazy. On quarterback. It's not the same. It's not the same whatsoever. But that 07 draft class is, again, not the same whatsoever. But it's kind of akin to the 03 NBA draft class, where you had four guys that you can build your franchise around, these four guys. Like, the Chargers were good for the entire time Philip Rivers was there, pretty much. The Ravens were good for the entire time Flacco was there, pretty much. Ben got two chips. Eli got two chips. Like, that's a pretty – there has not been a better quarterback draft class since then.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
One more round.
Speaking of,
Joe Flacco still in the league. There was a point in this game where
Joe Flacco was in the 2008 draft. The draft class we were talking about was 2004 with Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, and
dang.
Yeah.
Who else is in that class? Who was 04?
I'm pulling it up now.
Thank you. Flacco.
17 quarterbacks were taken in the 2004 draft class.
That's crazy. Flacco. Very good still. At one point, I texted my buddies in the middle of this game and said, hey, Flacco could be starting for many teams right now because he's still slinging that thing. He looked good early, didn't look good in the middle. And then when you needed it at the end there, he was able to put a drive together to get them that W. Hit Michael Pittman Jr. for the game when it touched down. Michael Pittman Jr., who was thought to go on IR at some point in the week last week.
Sean Taylor,
because he was dealing with a back injury. Oh, damn. Now you just hurt my feelings.
Back-to-back Miami players. Sean Taylor at 5 and then Kellen Winslow the second at 6.
Yeah, we don't talk about him. He's a nasty man. I think he's in jail right now, actually, for some very heinous things. But they were able to get this win still without Anthony Richardson. We don't know the timetable on when he's coming back. And without Jonathan Taylor, who was not able to play this game. So Colts, Shane Steichen, doing pretty good things there. But, I mean, it is the Titans, so, you know. But, you know, just want to give Flacco his flowers.
One more round.
All right, Seattle, San Francisco, you know. San Francisco, are they back? I think is the big question. Brock Purdy looked really good in this game. Some of their key pieces are coming back. Still going to be without McCaffrey, I think, is done, right? Have we established he's done in the NFL entirely, completely?
I think so. Sorry, I'm watching a clip now where I guess Rodgers is on McAfee and Davante Adams is behind him.
Oh, I see it too.
I'm like, wait a second, God, what the heck is happening?
They're like high school.
I usually just get game highlights, and then this popped up on the little play thing.
Seahawks, very nervous. They started, I think they started 3-0, or what was
it?
And now they're 3-3. So we'll see what ends up happening there. I still think they're a good team. I just don't know if they're going to be as good as I had originally hoped. Yeah, that's all I got on this.
I do want to give one shout out. Shout out to Baker and the Bucks for caving in the heads of the New Orleans Saints. And also shout out to Mike Tomlin and them boys for somehow just finding wins. Just somehow. Just
finding them,
you know,
baby.
Just somehow. Oh, you know what? We just won. You were looking over there. Just won again. Najee Harris probably had the best run he's had as a pro in this game at one point. I was like, wow, that is the promise we've been waiting like 3 seasons for from Alabama. But
fun fact, it was Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and the Pillsbury throwboy, Jared Lorenzen.
That is not who I thought you were going to say.
No, I'm sad he
died. As far as like legend, he did pass away. But as far as I thought there was actually going to be a fourth quarterback.
No, there was just 3. But still, 3 in the first round, all on the cusp of Hall of Fame. There was only one other quarterback in the first round of that draft that didn't do anything.
Who was it? I want names.
J.P. Lossman.
Ah. Bill. Bill for a long time.
Bill for a long time. Jonathan Paul Lossman. 7 seasons. Here we go. Time for America's favorite game. We're talking college football, NCAA football to be precise. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Hosted by Joe Dorville.
Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? The game that's sweeping the nation. Brennan, which one do you want first?
Let's go with who's in, who's out.
Who's in, who's out first? Who's out is not Cam Rising. He's going to be eligible for an 8th year of eligibility. I have not seen him play in all 8 years, but somehow he's still available. This is bananas. This is a long-running joke at this point between me and Brennan. But they lost to Arizona State on Friday night, so they are out of the ranking. They were once ranked at number 16. And Oklahoma is out after losing in the Red River rivalry Try it one more time. The Red River Rivalry. They lost to Texas. They got blown out by Texas. So they find themselves on the outside looking in. Who is in is hands to the forehead and a salute. Thank you for your service. Army and Navy have found both themselves into the top 25. So that is pretty exciting. And we'll see how things shake out there. As far as who's up and who's down, only four teams went down. Ole Miss dropped nine spots after losing in an overtime game to LSU. Ohio State fell two spots after Will Howard pulled a Dak Prescott running for some yardage but not sliding in time and letting time expire. So we always laugh when Ohio State takes an L, especially if it's funny. Tennessee went down three spots, even though they held on and beat Florida in overtime to win that game, but it was very unimpressive. And Notre Dame went down, even though I don't think they even played last week.
They were off this week.
Yeah, but I think they just went down just because they went down. Yeah. I can't see them going down after beating Stanford 49-7. So I think they were off this week. So who is up? Technically, a lot of people are up because a lot of people are down. SMU jumps from 25 to 21. I'm just going to do the big ones here. LSU jumps up five spots after beating Ole Miss. That's pretty much it as far as big jumps. Your top 12 teams. You think Ole Miss
is out of the playoff contention now?
I think they're out. Two losses, you're done. Two losses and you're in that conference. Like Alabama's still around. LSU's still hanging around now. Tennessee's still hanging around now. Let's see how long that is because I think they have a big game.
Georgia. Alabama. We forgot the biggest
Georgia,
team.
Texas. Texas is in the SEC now. Let's not forget that.
Oh, I did forget that. That is the number one team.
Yeah, exactly. So number one, Texas. Number two, Oregon. Number three, Penn State. Who I don't know how Penn State went up after being down and then having to claw their way back to an overtime victory. And Miami is punished for that time and time again.
Because I think they respect USC more than they respect Cal.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's probably logistically what it is.
It's but obviously what it is, but I don't know why.
I agree with you that in the last 3 or 5 years, USC and Cal could be
Cal has the best defense in the nation right now. Yeah. Miami,
which
put
is
up
saying
the
a lot in college football
it.
Because no one ever has a good defense in college.
It's insane.
Except South Carolina. Them boys get only, after it.
If only they could have beat Alabama. Score some points. I was really hoping for that. No, just beat Alabama.
Yeah. That was a close game, though.
It was. Penn State, number three. Ohio State, number four. Don't know why they're ahead of Miami, even though they've lost a game. Georgia, also ahead of Miami. Don't know how when they lost a game.
Because Miami's not playing
lost,
a ranked team.
A team that
year.
Lost to Vanderbilt. I don't want to hear it. They lost to a team that lost to Vanderbilt. You should not be ahead of Miami right now. Alabama is number seven, who beat Georgia. LSU is number eight. Iowa State is number nine, also an undefeated team in the Big 12, just saying. Number 10 is Clemson. Number 11 is Tennessee. And number 12 is Notre Dame. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois and is ahead of an undefeated BYU. They're just going to hope and pray that Notre Dame doesn't lose another game so they can get that NBC game and get those ratings NBC out of money. Them.
I want to ask you, so because you are the most, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of realistic fan that I know. I'm always very much like,
I don't think Miami's going to win the national championship. I think
no,
Miami,
that's not my question. My question is, Miami, if all things, you know, knock on wood, stay consistent, will make the playoff. Do you think Miami, as a team, constructed the way it is right now, can go up against any playoff SEC team?
Yes.
Okay.
None of these teams, the talent is so evenly distributed now that,
yeah, especially honestly, with the transfer portal.
I think Miami might have the best team in the nation.
Okay.
I think we're just, one, the last
but
two games
when you say it holds
played,
water because you're not an overreactive fan. A lot of times you'll send in the group chat or the Discord.
The last
I'm out.
Two games.
Two picks into a game. You're like, no.
The
I'm
last
not.
Two games we played, those two teams played out of their mind as far as Virginia Tech played their best game of the season. Cal played their best game of the season. And Miami put themselves in self-inflicted wounds to get out of those holes, but they got out of those holes. The offensive line wasn't 100% healthy for the Cal game. The defensive line wasn't 100% for the Virginia Tech game. Reuben Bain, who was the freshman, ACC freshman of the year last year, came back in the Cal game, and he had a really great impact. So getting this team healthy. Another thing that a lot of people I talked about the time difference last week, but another thing that was like concerning me and really going into that Cal game was Miami played 6 weeks straight. We're already bowl eligible. We won six games. We didn't take a bye week in those first 6 weeks. So I was like, one, attrition, because these are kids, younger bodies. A lot of guys are breaking down because the constant week in, week out games. So getting that rest at that point, now going into this game against Louisville, who is going to be another top team, but they're not another top opponent, but they're not ranked right now. So we're not going to get the credit for that. By the way, I want to say USC wasn't ranked last week when they lost to Penn State as well. So, but yeah, no, I think Miami has, it's funny, it's similar to the Eagles. Talent-wise, they have everything you want. They have three of their receivers were preseason Blitnikoff award watchers. They have one of the best defensive linemen in the nation. They have one of the best linebackers in the nation. They have the best or a top five offensive line. They have probably one of the most dynamic quarterbacks. Everything is there. The recipe is there for them to stack up against all these other teams. It's going to come down to decision-making by the quarterback. Has to be consistent. Can't make bad throws. Can't make dumb decisions. And then it's going to come down to, will Mario Cristobal shoot us in the foot? So it's going to come down to those two things. But talent-wise, top to bottom, I think this team stacks up with just about anybody else over there. Like, I don't think Carson Beck is better than Cam Ward. I don't think Quinn Ewers is better than Cam Ward. I don't think Dylan Gabriel is better than Cam Ward. I don't think Will Howard. I don't know who the fuck Penn State's quarterback is. I don't think Jalen Milrow is after seeing that game against South Carolina. I know LSU's quarterback fucking sucks. So I think Miami is the best team on here. I just think we're going to, one, be looked at sideways because the ACC is not as respected as the SEC in the Big Ten.
And that's where I was going with it.
That's obviously what it is. ESPN has put so much money into acquiring SEC, and Fox has put so much money into acquiring the Big Ten that they are their tent pole things. And the AP just votes on everything, and the AP goes on what the narratives are in the media. And if the two biggest media conglomerates are pushing,
all these games, they're just like, there was a guy
after the Cal game that ranked Miami 16th. That motherfucker obviously went to sleep and didn't watch the end of that game.
So it's going to be interesting. I hate the expanded playoff for the fact.
I think 12 is way too much still.
Yeah, it gives too many of these teams. Like, the whole first week is basically just going to be annihilation by some of these bigger schools. And it's, you know, everyone's like, the underdog. It's a money grab. Everyone knows it's a money grab. I find it hilarious because when I played Division I college football, it was, you know, you have to have bowl games at certain times because of finals and this and that. And there's no reason to.
Nobody cares about school no more.
They don't give a shit.
I was about to say the NCAA has all turned into Cardale Jones. Cardale Jones was ahead of his time. We didn't come to play school.
Yeah, absolutely right. Cadillac Jones, baby. Miss that guy. All right, time for the quick hits.
And you'd be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right, it seems like the sports gods knew we had to go quick on the quick hits because we're already over an hour. We only have one WNBA game to talk about.
Well, technically two. We didn't record after game one. Game one, we saw an 18-point comeback from the Lynx with a 4-point play at the end there by Cordy Williams to give the Lynx a lead. Then Breonna Stewart made only one of two free throws late, which forced that game into overtime. Nafisa Collier ended up hitting what eventually became the game-winning shot. And Breonna Stewart missed what could have been a game-tying layup. And we saw the Lynx steal game one on the road. Game two looked like it was going to go with a similar script where Minnesota was down, came back late. But the Lynx this time Sorry, the Liberty. I hate that they're both L teams. The Liberty this time were able to hang on. Sabrina having a really good game. Jonquil Jones having a really good game. But Breonna Stewart having a phenomenal game. 21 points. I believe she had 7 steals, which was the final record. And the The unsung hero of this team, to me, who was the best player on this team prior to Breonna Stewart, Courtney Vandersloot, and Jonquil Jones deciding to come play with this team. Before, people always wanted Sabrina Ionescu to be the, you know, the best player on this team prior to that. She wasn't. It was Benaija Laney, I think Hamilton, because she got married. Is it Hamilton now?
Sabrina Ionescu was always seen as like that person. It's a very Trevor Lawrence-y kind of.
Benaija Laney Hamilton. Yeah, she's really good. But prior to everybody else coming, kind of like Breonna Stewart prior to coming,
two former MVPs being like, "Hey, let's go play there."
Yeah, I was about to say Sabrina Ionescu was only in her second season.
Yeah,
it was her third season when they all came over. So Benaija Laney was the tried and true vet who was actually the best player on that team, and she had 20 points, and she was really a difference maker in this game that helped propel the Liberty to beating the Lynx. Game 3, I want to say, is tomorrow night.
Yep.
Yes, it's tomorrow night. That's going to be in Minnesota. It's going to be very fun to watch. I think the series will end up going 5. So yeah, it's going to be very, very,
I think the Liberty take it in 4. The Liberty is the better team.
Wow. No, I don't think they're the better team, man. I was about to say, the Lynx beat them in the season series, and they also beat them in the Commissioner Cup. The Lynx are Liberty a really and four. Deep team.
Book it.
All right. You talking about that. Myesha Hines-Allen, your favorite player's sister playing on this team. Also, she has a ring. She's coming with some championship pedigree. Nafisa Collier was at Connecticut where she won championship rings. Don't sleep on this Minnesota Lynx team.
I'm sorry. I just woke up. I was sleeping on this Minnesota Lynx team. Liberty and 4.
Disrespectful,
baby.
This guy. Disrespectful.
MLB, baseball. Let's talk about it. I saw Grand Slam live and in person.
You keep saying that, but you saw it on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
You were in the stadium.
What's his name? Venison?
I'm not going to try it. I don't watch the Mets.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. But the Mets. Since we were last recorded, the Mets beat the Phillies, and they went on to the NLCS. The Dodgers ended up beating the Padres to move on to the NLCS. They've faced us twice now. Dodgers took game 1 resoundingly.
I believe it was
something like 8-0.
9-0.
9-0. And then the Mets took game 2 with a 6-2 victory, I want to say.
6-3.
So 6-3. Look at them. And look at you. Corrected me every time. Stop doing that, all right?
I work with a bunch of Mets fans.
It's not in the contract. You can't.
They haven't shut up about it.
So that series looks fun. I believe it's going to go the distance. The Mets payroll is finally looking to do what it should have been doing based on the payroll. And on the other side, the Guardians were able to hold off the upstart Tigers there, beating them 7-3 in the final game. The Yankees were able to brush off the Royals 3-1 in their final game, and they've matched up once now. The Yankees won, I believe it was 5-2. Game 2 will be tonight. Yes, it was 5-2. Brennan can't correct me there.
That one.
So that's what we have for the ALCS and the NLCS at this very moment.
And as we said earlier, no soccer corner today.
Nope. Fulham will play Villa on a Saturday. So that's what we're waiting on. So, Brennan?
Live for the press conference.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
It was mid-sip, mid-water sip. And now I've got the hiccups.
Oh, damn.
Joe, let me know where we can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter and Instagram at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That's A New Low. That's Who Does a Podcast. We're going to be doing Hairspray next week. We had to hold off on it this past week because of the hurricane and the guests we were having on. Wanted to make sure everything was okay and stable for him. And yeah, Don't forget to check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe, no O, no E in the phone on all DSPs. And don't forget to head over to Etsy.com/shop/Headphone Joe. Again, no O, no E in the phone. Get all the merch, the wares, and all that good jazz. Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media. God, these hiccups. BrennanTComedy.com. Check out Brennan and the Broken Toys.
Who's that behind you? Big
comedy show. I'm doing a big comedy show in New York, Grove 34, on November 20th. That'll be a lot of fun. And check out my other podcast, X Drinking. God damn it. Your X Drinking Buddy. Find anywhere you get podcasts. I have guests on. We talk about drinking stories. Joe, get me out of here, please. For the
life. Yeah, I was gonna say, let's get this hiccuping motherfucker out of here.
A lot of hiccups. That's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out, Aiden Hutchinson. Get better soon, my man.
Get well, my boy. Also, don't forget to go out and vote.
Yeah, go out, rock the vote.
I'm not gonna keep saying this until the fifth.